This morning, as we was talking in pouring of the water, where it was talking about in Isaiah 60, the first chapter, about Arise, O Jerusalem. Because, folks, today we are living in a time when the body of Christ is probably the most important, it's most important time that we've ever lived in for the body of Christ, I think. It is very important that we rise up out of darkness, out of doing the things that we want to do, out of doing the things that we enjoy doing that's just on the edge of what we're thinking. Is this a sin or is this maybe not a sin? I don't want to really be a sinner, but I really enjoy this little deal that I got going, so I don't really want to give it up, you know. Y'all ever been there and done that? Sure we have. We every one of us do it all the time. We are living in a world that tells you it's okay to do anything you want to do. It's okay to be anything you want to be. It's not, folks. I just hate to be the one to tell you, but it's not. It's not an old bad, dreadful world that we live in. It's a happy world we live in when we're Christians. I've never been any happier in my entire life, and I've lived from the pit all the way to where I'm at today. This is absolutely the best it's going to be or ever will be. I wished I could tell everybody that and they would believe it and hear it and know it. But as we come today and we look at Ephesians, the fifth chapter, we are seeing something right off the bat, first two words. And it's like, really? I told JT this morning when we was walking in, he said, you preaching today? I said, yeah. I said, I'd give anything if Brian was today because it's hard text, you know. I said, I'm going to turn around, look at this wall, and I'm going to just talk because I'm talking to me. I'm preaching to me. I'm not preaching to anybody else because that's just the way that a lot of Sundays, folks, I am preaching to me. Most every Sunday, I am preaching to me, not you, but to me. So just know that it wears me out. But it starts out in the fifth chapter, very first verse, it says, imitate God. Wow. Can we imitate God? Sure we can, but do we want to? Yes, we do, but, you know, really we want to have a little fun doing it. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, or coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. And this is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise, and make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of God's word and we we see how Paul is telling us you have to live in the light. You can't live in the darkness. You can't be a part of the world. You cannot live like everybody else that wants to just do whatever they want to do lives. We can't do that and be Christians. We cannot do that and be a disciple of Christ. He's called every one of us to be his disciple. He's called every one of us to walk in his light and to live for him. And yet, we as Christians, me most of all, I'll be the one to hold my hand up first. We are all guilty of wanting to walk on a real small piece of thread instead of trying to walk a pretty good sized cable. You know, it's a whole lot easier to walk across something if you got something to walk on and than it is to walk just a real fine line. And that's where we seem to be as a church today. I see churches everywhere. I see people that say to me, and I watch it and I see it everywhere, that they are teaching them to include everyone, to love everyone. And when we see this inclusion and this love that we're supposed to have for everyone, it's all true. It is true. It's nothing that we don't do is include and love everyone. But what is it telling us in the Scripture? We are to be sure we're not part of a group of people that is living in the darkness. So we have to be sure that when we are called to love everybody. Jesus said to befriend everyone. What was it? I think it's in Luke 5, maybe, that the Pharisees was on him. They said, look at him. He is trying to teach us, and he is living and eating with these people that are sinners. Does he not know they're sinners? And he said, look, folks, he said, these people that I'm with today, if you're healthy, you don't need a doctor. But if you're not healthy, you need a doctor. And that's what he was trying to tell them. Yes, I am eating with sinners. Yes, I am with the people that's living in the darkness. I'm guilty. I'm right here. And today, I'm guilty of a lot of that too. But I try to leave with them having a better understanding of Christ than they had before when I got there. That's the key to it, folks. That's the way that it should be. So he says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ, because we are he was a sacrifice for us. And it was pleasing aroma to God. It pleased God very, very much when he was that sacrifice and he lived into what God sent him here to do. He not only was God, folks, but he was human. He could have very easily made his mind up that he was not going to do exactly like God had planned for him to do. But he did. He lived in completely, 100% without sin, that he lived into everything that God asked him to do. So it causes us to look at what Paul is telling us. He's looking at Jesus and he's telling us to be like Jesus. He knows that we could never be perfect. He knows that it's not ever going to happen. But Paul is telling us, he says, do not live in sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such has no place among God's people. Really? Well, almost everybody has some kind of sin that they're falling into. Who in the world don't like their money? Who in the world don't like their money? Who in the world would just give it all away? It would be nice to have some to give away, but we wouldn't want to give it all away because then we would have to trust the Lord to get us some back before next Friday and our bills come due. So we don't want to do that. We want to be in control. We have to be in control of something. Do we? Do we not? Sure we do. We have to be in control because we're human. It's a part of us that cannot let God have. You cannot turn your life over to God 110% completely. It's not in us. So God sent his son to die upon the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven, because it's not in us to be able to live this life as Jesus did. But he said, you need to stay away from all the obscene jokes and all the dirty talk and all of the things that goes on throughout the week. Folks, it's hard. It's hard because everywhere you go, everything you do, somebody say, here, I got a good joke for you. Well, it is a good joke. It's funny, but it's not maybe not what you needed to hear. You know, you're not knowing exactly what it is until you hear it. It's not what you needed to hear. Is it funny? Most of the time, they are funny. But that's not what Jesus tells us. That's not what Paul's telling us here. He says we need to stay away from all of this stuff. Do not be telling all these old crazy stories that went on 100 years ago. I'm the world's worst. I'm the world's worst. I'm preaching to me, folks. That's why I told JT this morning, I need to turn around here and look at this and just talk to myself. I don't need to be looking at y'all. Because I'm telling you, it is me that cannot live into this 100%. But it is because of Jesus that I don't have to. Because he's taken our sin debt. But he tells us that your impurity and your greed among you. Your impurity and greed among you. Really, I'm not doing anything immoral sexually, anything like that. We could talk about that from now until next Sunday morning. And, you know, and we would all be bordering on a fine line. But he says, impurity or greed among you. So we stop and we think about that, folks. The greed that we have in our lives. How many of us just this week have shown love to someone else? It's hard. It's hard to do because that love that I'm showing to someone else is requiring something from me. You've heard me say that a million times. It is causing me to look at somebody else, and it's causing me to give of my time, give of something of mine, and I'm greedy. I don't want to. I'd just soon to do something I want to do. I'd rather be doing something I want to do. I know me and Dan talked this morning. I bet them fish are jumping in the boat. I about guarantee you they'll jump in the boat for you right now. If I, wasn't here on Sunday morning, I might just be calling Dan saying, hey, them fish are jumping in the boat. Need to get down here. We need to be loading it up. And that's what we have a tendency to do, folks. We are impure in the things that we do and in the things that we think, especially when it comes to our possessions. When we think about the possessions that God has given to us and how blessed we really are, sometimes, I think, well, these people over here, they just got all kinds of things. But I look at myself and I think how blessed I am. And so I am off center because of the way I think toward others and because I sure don't want to give up anything that God has allowed me to be a steward of. But how many times throughout the week do we stop right where we're at and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give to us. Thank you, Lord, for the food that I have in the pantry. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes, folks, I look back and think about a lot of different people when I was a kid. When I was a kid growing up, people didn't have what they had today. It was not the same. And so we look at those, I think back about those times, and as hard as it is today, the one thing it lays on my heart today, one of the greatest things, besides the abortion that killing these kids, is the homelessness that we're seeing in this world today. People have nowhere to call home. That's just hard for me to imagine being homeless. Although, about 1980, I was pretty close to being there myself. You know what kept me, what made me that way, and what kept me from being different, any different, was pride. I would not have asked anybody for anything. And therefore, I struggled greatly. And it was there for a month or so that I really didn't even have a place to live. And it woke me up to the fact that, Mike, you're the one that's doing this. You're the one that's causing this. And if you don't have a place to live, it's nobody's fault. It's not anyone's fault except yours. And so I had to stop and I had to think about myself and my life and the things that I loved and the things that I would not give up. And then it caused me to stop and to think and to give thanks to God. Not only that I didn't have anything, I didn't have a thing, but what I did have, I had to give thanks for it. Because all I had, folks, was a few clothes, very few clothes. I had a company car. It wasn't mine. I didn't own a vehicle. I mean, I had basically nothing. But it was because of Mike. It wasn't because somebody else. It was because of Mike. And when you stop and you look at where you're at and you're basically down to somebody, depending upon somebody else, when you do that, your pride keeps you from going back home. Your pride keeps you from doing things that you should do or ask for some help that you should ask for. Instead, you do without. And so it causes you, when you get to that point, to stop and thank God for what you do have. Because you have nothing except yourself. You have God to rely on. And folks, when you have to stop and thank Him that this is only between me and you, Lord, you're the only thing I got pretty much in this whole world. And the reason is because of what I have done. Then it wakes you up. It causes you to have a sense about giving thanks to God and to thinking about where you're at and how impure a life and immoral a life that you're really living. God doesn't want us to live like that, folks. God wants us to depend upon Him, to trust in Him, and He will, I guarantee you, He will take care of you. But He says, also in the sixth verse, He says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall all over those who disobey Him. So it would have been very easy at that given point in my life, when I'm thinking about, I know what's going on in my life, I know what I need to correct in my life, I know where I'm at in my life, to just excuse it all, and that was what I was doing. It was very easy for me to make an excuse for it. It was very easy for me to go ahead and live my life the way I wanted to live it, but you can't do that. Because He tells us that we can't participate in those things. And so He says, once you were full of darkness, and folks, I was full of darkness. I hope none of you have ever been that full of darkness. I hope you cannot even relate to anything I'm trying to tell you this morning. But I was full of darkness. And it tells us that we should awake, O sleeper. Awake, O sleeper. You're not dead. You don't have to come up out of the ground yet. I'm not here yet. I hadn't come back yet. Awake, O sleeper, out of this darkness that you're in, and I have a light for you. I have a light for you, and I will take care of you. We, first of all, folks, have to determine what pleases the Lord. What pleases the Lord? And then we have to live into it. We can't halfway live into it, because He tells us if we're just lukewarm, what will He go do to us? Spew us out of His mouth? You can't live lukewarm. You can't live both ways. You got to live one way or the other, either for the Lord or against the Lord. And yes, we do sin, and yes, we stop immediately and ask forgiveness for that sin when we see and know what we're doing. So yes, we can make excuses. We can do all the things that we desire to do, and we can participate in the things that we know is not godly. But we know that it's also dark in that spot. And I don't know, folks, but I do know one thing. Living in the dark is no fun. No fun. It's no fun if you're living in the dark in the world. It's no fun if you're living in the dark at home, if you ain't got any electric. In 1980, I bought an old house trailer that was just what I said, an old house trailer. And I had no money to turn the electric on. And I lived in that old house trailer because I could get some water from a well next door. And I hooked up to the water, cold water. And my brother come home from the army, and he said, brother, he said, you living in this? I said, yeah, I ain't got nowhere else to live. Where would I? Why wouldn't I? I said, you go spend the night with me? He said, I don't know. He stayed with me one night. He said, brother, you are crazy. It was cold. We didn't have no heat. It was cold water. That's all you had to wash your face in. I mean, you know, really? He said, no, brother, you're crazy. And he was crazy. But he said, no, brother, you're crazy. So, folks, darkness comes in lots of ways, from not being able to flip a light switch to being in pure darkness that you're living in and not even realizing it, being one of the richest people in the world. You can still be in darkness. But he tells us that we live, if we live, by the Spirit. By the Spirit's power. By God. Let him be your leader. Let him be your guide. And if we are careful how we live, and don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise, that we will have an opportunity in these evil days. Folks, today we're living in evil days. I can never tell you how big and how much of an evil world we're living in if you're not aware of it. We're living in some evil, evil times. And it's just, like me and Tommy were talking this morning, we don't know where or how or when, but it's changing. It's changing quickly. And so, folks, as it changes quickly, a lot of us, like me, I'm old. Probably won't be here to see it all change out. You know, maybe I will. Who knows? I may live, be like Methuselah. I may live a bunch of 100 years more. But most likely, we won't. And so most likely, it will be our younger generation that will live through a lot of different changing times, more than what we're living in right now. So we have to stop and we have to think about, how in the world will these kids ever make it? How in the world will we make it? If it continues to get worse year by year, as it has in the last 2 or 3 years, it's going to be pretty bad in the next 2 or 3. So how in the world will we make it? We will only make it in these evil days with the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. That's the only way we're going to make it, folks. God within us. Us doing our very best to be the disciple he's called us to be. Taking every opportunity we have every day and trying our very best to take that opportunity and to show someone else Jesus Christ. Do we do it? No. I don't. I raise my hand first. I don't. We don't. You're never the example that you could be. You're never the example that you want to be, because the world keeps us from it. The world keeps us from it. Me and Tammy were sitting drinking coffee yesterday morning, and we was laughing, and we said if we had $1 million, you know, we was talking about it that other day with Kathy and some of them, if we had $1 million, we could just give it away. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, we don't have $1 million to give away, so that's, it would be wonderful, but if we did. But, you know, not having that million, Tammy said yesterday morning, she said, well, what would you do if you was rich? I said, whoo, I could buy a lot of stuff, because I got a big old list, you know. She said, well, I don't have that big a list. I said, that's the wonderful part. If I was rich, I could own lots of things. I don't have a place to put them, first of all, so what would happen? I'd have to build bigger barns. Is that a story in the Bible about a man that done that? You'd have to build bigger barns. And then when you build these bigger barns and you try to fill them up, I could fill them up real quick. But I told Tammy yesterday morning, I said, the most wonderful thing in the world is how God has blessed me. He has blessed me beyond any and everything. And I'm totally 100% satisfied with just exactly where I'm at. I'd be satisfied with less, but I am 100% satisfied. I don't need to be rich. I don't want to be rich. I've told Tammy and told y'all that I told her I didn't want to win the lottery. I didn't buy a lottery ticket. She said, okay, you just buy it and give it to me. And she said, and I won't tell you when we win it. I said, well, we're going to need a new fishing pole. Me and Dan will, maybe a little something else, or, you know, we're going to need a scooter or something to ride. She said, well, no, you don't want to know. So folks, we have to be careful how we live, what we ask for, what we want. We have to be careful that and make sure that we're living within the power of the Holy Spirit, living with God in us and not outside of God. We have to be sure that everything we're doing relates back to Jesus. It tells others, it shows others that we are trying our best to live a life with Christ centered in us. It's hard. I'll tell you now, we're not any of us going to do it. But it's through the forgiveness that He has for us that we don't have to worry about that. But it's also, folks, relates back to us again, because He forgave us of our sins that day He died upon that cross if we only ask Him for that forgiveness. But it also requires us to forgive others. He's shown us lots of grace in our lives. And in that showing us that grace, how much of that grace do we give back to others? It's pretty easy for me to say, I'm just not going to do that no more. I'm not going to mess with that guy anymore because I'm tired. I'm just not going to do it. And I do say that a lot of times. And a lot of times I do mean it, because it's a point you have to draw a line sometimes. But it's also a point that we have to stop and we have to realize that God has been so good to us and showed us so much love and so much grace through His Son, Jesus. Can we really afford not to show other people grace? Can you really afford not to do that? So stop, think about it this week. Know that you are loved, you're loved more than anything in this world. And folks, it's so easy for us to get in our head that we're not loved by anyone. There's no one that cares anything about us. There's no one that I got anyone that I can call. So easy for us to get to that point. But you always know God loved you so much that He sent His Son and He died upon that cross. He didn't send Him to die and then He went off over there, got sidetracked on a camping trip or something, never did get back to die on that cross. No. He sent Him. He lived into every bit of it. And He died on that cross just for you and for me. Think about it this week as you go back into the world. And folks, do everything you can to live in Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.